Welcome to All Who Labor. During the first season of the show, I explored current Catholic labor thought and activism, particularly as it related to problems highlighted by the COVID-19 pandemic. This season, I'm pivoting my focus and taking a look at three unions at Fordham University in New York: the Fordham Faculty Union, the Fordham Graduate Student Workers Union, and the Rose Hill RA Union. 5 years after its founding in 1841, Fordham was sold to the Jesuits, an order of Catholic priests founded by St. Ignatius of Loyola. The Jesuits are known both for strong academic institutions and for their emphasis on social justice. Fordham maintains its Jesuit identity. It was one of the things that drew me there. I graduated from Fordham in May of 2023, and that spring, the three unions I mentioned all got students' attention. Season 2 is going to be less explicitly focused on faith than the first season was. Rather than seeking out Catholic guests to the extent that I did last time, I'm going to let the backdrop of Fordham and my own religious lens maintain the podcast's religious element. I approach these questions as a Catholic with an interest both in fair treatment for workers and a curiosity about the potential spiritual insights that can arise in discussions about things like union membership. I wanted to start the season with a discussion of Fordham's own ideals. Fordham, as a Catholic university, should be judged against the Catholic social teaching that was discussed last season. Check out the very first episode featuring Jesuit priest and Fordham professor, Father Thomas Massaro, if you want a primer. Additionally, as Fordham is a Jesuit school, it should hold itself to the vision of Jesuit education, among other things, to inspire men and women for and with others, and to move its students to go forth and set the world on fire. I'm Anna Nowak, and this is All Who Labor. Vanessa Rotondo is the senior advisor for Ignatian leadership at Fordham University. She's also pursuing a doctorate in religious education in the Graduate School of Religion and Religious Education at Fordham. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anna. It's great to be here.
Could you start by talking a little bit about your role at Fordham?
Yes, I am the Associate Director of Campus Engagement and Senior Advisor for Ignatian Leadership in our Center for Community Engaged Learning. I'm also a two-time Fordham alumna, graduate student, and I'm the Chapter Advisor for Alpha Sigma Nu, the Jesuit Honor Society.
Wow, that's a lot. Could you dive into the first title a little bit?
Sure.
And what is your graduate work on?
So I'll start with the easier one, the graduate work. I'm a doctoral candidate in the Graduate School of Religion, where I am pursuing my PhD in religious education. I'm writing my dissertation on basically repurposing the Ignatian approach to education in our era of liquid modernity, which kind of originates from a sociologist in Hungary named Zygmunt Bauman. And he is arguing that the kind of culture in which young people in our current world are socialized has been done with the kind of viscous, fluid identity of liquid, insofar as there really is no need to attach yourself to a social institution as there was, say, for example, in the 1950s. And so he's arguing that technology, socialization, different kind of individual pockets of human growth and development have just shifted. My doctoral work is repurposing the Ignatian approach to education in that context for immersions. And so in my professional work, I direct the university's Global Outreach Program, which is the university's traditional cultural and service learning immersion program, where we run kind of service projects on winter, spring, and summer recess. We have 30 plus global partners, which is awesome. The program is in its 60th year, so it's definitely taken a few different forms and had to respond to kind of the Jesuit signs of the times as the university has grown and the world has evolved in tandem there too.
Who is St. Ignatius?
Ignatius Loyola is the founder of the Jesuit order. So he was born in northern Spain to a family of relative nobility. He kind of lived a life that was rooted in riches, honor, praise. He was a soldier, got wounded at a battle in 1521, and in his recovery period had to give up the vanities of his life and had two books in front of him, The Life of Christ and The Lives of the Saints. And though terribly bored with those two options, he kind of gave in to his boredom and read them and found himself particularly struck by the lives of Saint Dominic and Saint Francis. And for him, it was their kind of humanity and you know, he gave up his life of riches, honor, praise. The Ignatian principle and foundation is to praise, revere, and serve the Lord. And so for him, he kind of began the incarnation of that, had a big transformation, went back to college at 30. Him and his roommate, St. Francis Xavier and St. Peter Faber, ended up starting some schools and doing some really cool things. And now here we are.
Fordham is a Jesuit school, and proudly so. But what exactly does that mean?
That is a great question. I think in its simplest terms, when you go back to the kind of foundational text that Ignatius wrote, and there was kind of a desire to get into education, but for him, it was really at the root of helping souls develop. Mm-hmm. And so again, in his context, it looks a lot different than it does for us, but really it was this kind of core of human development. And I think for me, the way that I understand Jesuit education and kind of Fordham's approach to it is really kind of making the world come alive through theory and practice. So your education is something that happens certainly in the classroom, but the Jesuit approach goes a little bit beyond that and wants to bring your education out into the world in a way that roots itself for the common good. So if you look at the university's mission statement, right, our mission statement states that there is certainly the academic rigor, but really at the heart of it is creating what we say global leaders in a diverse society. So kind of putting students in these spaces that challenge their worldview and then have them understand how the world and their education relate to one another for them to then kind of bring their vocation into an avenue for the common good. And so I think too, a lot of what we claim is this idea of social justice being central to it. And if you look at Ignacio Ea Correa, who was the rector at the university in Central America in El Salvador, one of the Jesuits who was martyred in 1989. He claimed in 1982 at an address at an American Jesuit university that Jesuit education not rooted in social justice is a farce, F-A-R-C-E. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that's the quote that I kind of always land on, right? So if our education is just teaching you what the book in front of you says, we're doing a bad job. But if your education is teaching you to think about the bigger kind of systemic issues and kind of pushing you to think how the book in front of you relates to the world, how it relates to the different systems and kind of problematic natures of most of those systems and structures socially, then you're kind of thinking along the right way. And then Pedro Rupe, another powerhouse Jesuit, always said that a good Jesuit education is one that creates people for others, right? So being able to take that academic, intellectual, and then actually bring it out into the world and do something with it.
Father McShane used to use the term bothered excellence. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to expand on that a little bit?
I will indeed. I think one of my colleagues in campus ministry says it best when she says, Jesuit education takes a cucumber and makes you a pickle. You can't go back to being a cucumber, but you're a pickle now. And there's nothing kind of wrong with being a cucumber, but you're kind of changed. And I think in a more serious note, Jesuit education, it just became the lens that I see the world through after Fordham, right? So once you are transformed in such a way, you can't go back to the way that you were before that. And I think for Father McShane, that's what he's getting at with this idea of bothered excellence. It's something that's supposed to bring you out of your finite space of an academic education and see how, you know, the math class that you really didn't want to take is something that can relate to the different moving pieces of the world. I mean, for me, for example, and very ironic, when I was a freshman, I did not want to do anything with the theology and philosophy classes. I kind of wanted to just take them and check the box and then go into whatever political science class I would take, which I was very happy to graduate a political science major, not to discredit that by any means. But I think by the time I graduated, I did regret not at least ending a theology minor because of those courses that you're kind of forced into that you resist very willfully at first, but then you begin to open up your kind of heart and brain to just more around you.
So I was a theology major. So much of my Fordham experience was wrestling directly with like questions of ethics and social justice. How does Fordham help non-theology or philosophy ethics related students really understand these social justice values?
That's a good question. And that's one that professionally and administratively I approach daily, right? Like I think working in the Division of Mission, the natural target audience, not natural target audience, but the natural kind of flow of students that we see are the theology majors, the kids who are kind of entering the space with that Catholic identity that they want to further academically and spiritually. And I think really what it comes down to is an invitational formation. So I know for me, I mean, my political science courses rarely mentioned any kind of inclination or disposition towards faith or the integration that faith could play within that, unless it was like, I think I took a Catholic approach to religion and politics or something like that. But that was one of the courses that I think integrated it a little bit more. The other courses, not so much. And I think I have a unique role in the Division of Mission where we have the kind of privilege to engage with these questions of Ignatian identity, Ignatian spirituality, and kind of big picture formation of, you know, what does the emerging young Catholic look like today? How do you make Ignatian spirituality more accessible for the increasingly large number of people who aren't identifying with the religious order?
So we talked about Ignatian education and Jesuit education. What are some of the other components of Fordham's mission?
Good question. I mean, certainly there's the commitment to academic formation, academic rigor, putting you in those kind of core curriculum classes. I think for me, I really like the global piece just by product of my work, but I think the alumna in me really values the motto of the university, Sapientia Doctrina, this idea of wisdom and learning. I often add the moniker in front of that, lifelong wisdom and learning. And I think that's the heart of what a postmodern religious education seeks to do. Your education doesn't end on the kind of expiration date, quote unquote, that you'll have on your diploma. It's a lifelong commitment, right? So, you know, if we go back to what I said before, your Jesuit education is something that should teach you content, certainly, but how to think, right? So how to bring these kind of questions into the world. And a good question is one that leads to more questions, not answers, which I often tell my students that. And you always see the hints of frustration because you always want a good answer and to just kind of move on with your day. But I think as I've grown and developed over my time here at Fordham, I've learned that the good question leads to more questions. And I think for me, that's the heart of Jesuit education, right? It roots itself in this idea of curiosity, inquiry, and then it supports you in that quest. And that quest only leads to more questions.
So you are a part of the Office of Mission Integration. I imagine you deal with how Fordham's mission is going to play a role in students' lives a lot. How does Fordham's mission shape the choices that you make, your methodology of doing the work of the Office of Mission? And do you know how it shapes other administrative aspects of Fordham?
So the Office of Mission Integration and Ministry oversees three areas. You really have like the centralized office, which is our area vice president. Then you have campus ministry, which seeks to nurture the spiritual lives of our students through retreats, liturgies, spiritual formation programs such as Ignatian Yoga. They have service projects through the Pedro Rube Volunteers. And a good deal of it is kind of this approach to pastoral spiritual formation. Then you have the Center in Religion and Culture. They focus primarily on almost an external audience. So they have a number of different Duffy Fellows. I think, Anna, you were one of them. And with the Duffy Fellows, they bring students and alumni into kind of these prominent spaces for engaging with the emerging Catholic identity in New York City, which is really exciting. And kind of in line with that school of thought, they have a number of high profile events. They just had Cardinal Michael Czerny from the Vatican here to launch his new book, which was exciting. And I know they've got some really cool tricks up their sleeves for next year. And then we have the Center for Community Engaged Learning, my office. So if the CRC is a little bit more of the intellectual formation, campus ministry is the spiritual formation, we do a little bit more of the, I would almost say, human development within that piece. So there is the intellectual in the sense of our community engaged learning courses. There is the spiritual in the sense of I lead a number of Ignatian programs within the Center for Community Engaged Learning that kind of bring a faith into a world of justice, to use Ignatian language, faith that does justice. And then we have Urban Plunge, which is the pre-orientation program, Global Outreach, which I direct, which is the global end of it. So I think each area has their own kind of realm of expertise in which they engage, and intra-departmental collaboration is always a great opportunity for us to kind of connect those moving pieces. But I think as a whole, our approach to work is kind of in that trifurcated fashion. And I think the mission statement, we're really lucky that we get to have these kinds of conversations daily, but I think each person within our division has the responsibility to one, understand, and two, authentically share that, you know, with other areas. I always say that, you know, we live in the mission bubble, and I knew that from when I was a student here. You know, I was part of the mission bubble of students, Anna, that you were a part of. And I think, you know, the beauty is when we get to pop that bubble and bring in other students, bring in other faculty, staff, administrators, alumni. And I think that's something that I often bring into my approach to mission there as well. And to go back to something I said before, this idea of invitational, you don't have to be invited in, but people feel more inclined to be part of it when they feel like they are asked to engage.
What do you think Jesuit education has to offer the world today? This, I think, ties into your graduate work, and you've talked about it a little bit, but if you have some thoughts that you want to offer.
I definitely have many thoughts. I think this is a great question, and this is one that, you know, I often think about too, especially as we see an increasing approach towards secularization. We see, again, the Gallup polls keep coming in, the Pew polls keep coming in, that there is just in increase in disaffection, disaffiliation towards any religious institution. So, I mean, the Catholic Church is certainly part of that, but it isn't just a unique issue. It's really a comment, I think, on the sociological place that we're in. And I strongly think that it is this idea of liquid modernity. I could be wrong here, but in my appropriation as a remotely, relatively young adult in the world around me, who has had the privilege of traveling to a number of different global spaces through my work and meeting with kind of countless people in the approach to this pedagogical philosophy, I think it really is rooted in this idea of fluidity. And I think Jesuit education almost provides a countercultural lens to that, right? So our superior general, Father Arturo Sosa, talks a lot about this idea of the globalization of superficiality. And so for him, he's talking about technology, he's talking about individualization. Sosa says that Jesuit education has this opportunity to create spaces of authenticity within that. And so in my own work, I see that with global outreach. We send these students on these global immersions. They go anywhere from, you know, the South African town of Soweto to, you know, rural Mississippi to New York to El Salvador. I mean, they really go all over and then some. And the value is always found in the human conversations they have, the community that they're able to form. And I think Ignatian spirituality is almost the countercultural kind of conduit towards that beauty in transformation. And I think Jesuit education also, you know, we talk a lot about this idea of ways of proceeding. So for Father Arupe in the 70s, Father Kolbenbach in like the late 90s, early 2000s, they talked about how you need to respond to the signs of the times and formulate an institutional way of proceeding, which is a lot of jargon, but being able to respond to the signs of the times, right? So being able to understand the context you're in, the culture you're in, and then formulate a kind of way of proceeding. For Arupe, it was the institutional way of proceeding was how you direct the Jesuits. And for him, that was social justice as center to all of it. For Kolbenbach, it was a little bit more, I would say, micro. He was approaching different institutions of higher education. He was approaching different kind of social apostolates as their own. So he kind of broke it down. For him, institutions had their onus on naming for them what it is, how they want to proceed. And so that's around the time that the latest iteration of Fordham's mission statement came to be, right? So it was how the institution wanted to respond to the signs of the times. And I think Jesuit education in the world today offers young people kind of a methodological approach of formulating for them what it means in a way of proceeding in responding to the signs of the times. And so there is kind of the individual opportunity to name that, but I would speculate that if, you know, a bunch of different Jesuit educated alumni now were to formulate for them what it means to respond to the signs of the times and name a way of proceeding, there would be a lot of similarity there.
Last question. Can you tell me a story about a moment that stands out in your work life? It doesn't have to be the job you have now, but it can be good, bad. Just something that you would like to share.
One story comes to mind, and it's just totally from before I was in this work. So when I was pursuing my master's in Fordham's Grad School of Education, I was a graduate assistant in campus ministry. So again, I have this unique lens where I've worked in two out of the three departments within the Division of Mission, and it's been just a really cool way to become a young adult within the kind of world here. And I was chaperoning a GO project to New York which was a lot of fun. We took students to each of the five boroughs and did different kinds of service in each. And when we were in Manhattan, we were down at St. Francis Xavier Food Pantry. And I, at the time, was writing my doctoral application. And so I had been up late because I was writing an essay. I had 12 college kids, but I was only 2 years older than at the time. But it was like, it felt like the world was just like on my shoulders. And I was talking to a gentleman who was a client at the food pantry, and he was just kind of going on about education and how he found a lot of value in Jesuit education. And so we were just talking, and I was trying to get a sense from him, like what he knew about Jesuit education, like where he was coming from, how long he'd been going to Xavier, things like that. And the night before, I had been writing about the Latin root of education and how X and Ducaret bring out this idea of leadership, and how Jesuit education, again, is trying to bring you out into the world. And when you look at the Latin root of education without the Jesuit superlative, it really is trying to do that. Jesuit education does that with kind of an intentional lens towards faith. And this gentleman sitting across from me, out of nowhere, just kind of broke down the Latin root of education. And he was like, that's what Jesuit education is supposed to do, bring you out into the world and have you serve God like this group of students is doing. And I was so tired. I was so cranky, but I just remember being so moved. And at the time it was, like I said, writing my doctoral application, but also applying to jobs in CCEL. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of going to give up all control. I have the Ignatian lens of indifference here. Like if it pans out, it pans out. If it doesn't, I'll be okay. And here I am, 5-ish years later.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. That's the story that came to mind. It was just kind of indicative to me about how you learn from everybody around you. And I think that is what Jesuit education tries to do too. Mm.
Thank you for talking with me, Vanessa.
Of course, Anna.
All Who Labor is a member of the Labor Radio and Podcast Network. For more updates on this podcast, you can follow the show on Instagram at all.who.labor.pod or on Twitter at allwholabor. Subscribe for future episodes, and if you like what you've heard, leave a rating and review. Thanks for listening.